call the meeting back to order at this time. Next appeal on our docket tonight is 6A, the Branson Sports Entertainment Company. Bob, would you give us the staff report?
Okay. The case number is 2011-0006A. The applicant is the Branson Sports Entertainment Complex / Russell Cook. The applicant, the Branson Sports Entertainment Complex / Russell Cook, is seeking an appeal in order to modify specific conditions placed by the Planning Commission on the Division 3 permit number 2011-0016 for the Branson Sports Entertainment Complex. In review, the applicant, the Branson Sports Entertainment Complex, is again seeking to modify conditions number 4, 7, 8, 9, and 10 placed by the Planning Commission on the decision of record for Division 3 permit number 2011-16. The sound pressure level of 68 decibels that was proposed by the planning staff during the Planning Commission public hearing process later became condition 9 of the decision of record and was arrived at based largely upon the noise analysis for the Emery Creek racetrack development. This analysis was completed in 2008 by Keith Crawford, who at that time was the Taney County Planning Compliance Officer, for presentation to the Planning Commission. In that analysis, it was found that the calculated data for the combined sound pressure level of the existing highway noise, the proposed racetrack noise, and the audience noise would be 69 decibels at 3,200 feet or 0.6 miles. And so essentially what Mr. Crawford did is he calculated a combined noise. He looked at the highway noise, the racetrack noise, and the audience noise, and essentially said at 0.6 miles that the decibel level would be approximately 69 decibels. Mr. Crawford also presented a data report indicating actual car racing sound measurements recorded at the Route 66 Speedway in Joplin, Missouri. The actual measured dBA, or decibel reading, for super modified cars at the Route 66 Speedway was 68 dBA at 0.5 miles from the racetrack. The 68 decibel measurement was obtained from cars that were producing an average measurement of 98 decibels at 100 feet from the track. The staff believed that if an actual decibel reading of 68 decibels was measured at the Route 66 Speedway without mitigation measures being put in place, such things as sound control apparatus such as sound walls, barriers, or other acoustical sound treatments, that potentially the sound pressure could be lowered even further by using various means of absorbing, redirecting, or diffusing the sound. The noise analysis for the Branson Sports Entertainment Complex was not submitted by the applicant's engineer until the afternoon of July 18th, the date of the Planning Commission final vote on the Division 3 application. The applicant has indicated that a sound study, as was indicated earlier, was completed on site, in which, from my understanding, two Sprint Series cars were run, with the engines being revved at the property in question. The applicant has stated that the highest peak sound pressure level measurement taken from the adjacent properties during the sound test was 64 decibels. Once again, as a part of the Division 3 approval process, the project did receive a score of 24 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 87. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of off-site nuisances, right-of-way on existing roads, slopes, use compatibility, wildlife habitat and fisheries, building materials, and traffic. The Planning Commission approved Division 3 permit number 2011-16, again by a vote of 4 in favor and 2 against, with a total of 18 conditions based upon the belief that this proposed development would comply with the absolute relative policies of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. But the way that they were able to do that is they felt that the conditions that were placed upon this permit in order to mitigate the concerns of the neighboring property owners would also ensure compliance with the absolute relative policies of the Development Guidance Code. What the staff has attempted to do on the rest of this is to essentially, we have shown this areas in bold that are proposed modifications by the developer, and we've shown areas with a strike through that are proposed deletions or additions.
That's what you have up on the screen there, item number 4.
Yes, these were the same items that were in the staff reports that were prepared. And I didn't know. I felt that possibly the best approach was to look at each of these one at a time. I didn't know, you know, what approach we wanted to take on
I think that's good. All right. For those who'd like to speak on this subject tonight, would you please stand and I'll swear you in.
Raise your right hand.
You solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Who is, Anthony, are you going to speak on behalf of the BSCE?
I am, sir, after the witnesses have testified. The first witness will be Tom Gammon.
My name is Tom Gammon. It's G-A-M-M-O-N. I'm actually speaking as the applicant. I'm the director of development at the racetrack and at the development, and I'm going to present our case here.
Will you do that in the order of the items that you're in challenging?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
So that number
I'm
4.
Following exactly the same outline, and I have the conditions.
All right.
What we've asked for right here.
We'll
I'm not going to reread those if it's okay with the chair. Reread all the changes we asked for.
Please do that because the audience has not been privy to
okay.
all of this.
Okay. I'll read it all then. Okay. Benson's Sports and Entertainment Complex, Russell Cook BSCC, is filing an appeal of specific conditions of the Division 3 decision of record and Division 3 permit 11-16. BSCC requests the following specific conditions be appealed. A, condition number 4, prior to the issuance of a certificate of conformance, the developer shall install all required infrastructure improvements. This is a large development. It will be completed in phases. Some smaller phases will be completed first. BSCC proposes this specific condition be changed to the following. Prior to the issuance of certificates of conformance for any Division 2 permit, permitted structure, or permitted use on the property, the developer will show that the necessary infrastructure to support the specific Division 2 permit is in place. Very briefly, on that condition, if we build our offices on site, the project offices, we need to be able to build those and operate out of them. It makes much more sense rather than having all the traffic improvements done to support a large race crowd. So what we'd like to do is build in phases, and I would like to clarify one thing from earlier. The first phase is the motorsports facility, is the racetrack. there are elements in the second phase that may complete before the first phase completes. It's a long process to build that. Mr. Wade stated that NoDOT told him we were not starting construction until spring of 2013. It's spring of 2012, and I'm pretty sure that's a note-taking error on someone's behalf. We would start in the spring of this year on the development. So just 2 points of clarification, and I'll move on. We could have an out parcel where someone wanted a small convenience store and have the ability to open that up. So that's all we're asking for, is to be able to build in phases. The second under the appeal can be conditions 7, 8, 9, and 10. In part or in whole, these provisions impose a special noise ordinance only specific to BSEC, along with several independent legal experts. Do not believe the Taney County Planning Commission has the legal authority to create ordinances for the county, monetary fines, or right conditions outside of the county code. This authority, according to statute, clearly resides with the county commission. BSEC is not opposed to a voluntary monitoring sound pressure levels and readings around the track. In the 2008 Taney County Planning Commission granted a Division 3 approval for a racing facility at Emory Creek. The noise restriction at that location was at 83 decibels. There was considerable work done by the county staff and independent sound experts in developing the 83 decibel restriction. That work and recommendations were apparently overlooked and clear precedent ignored. To that point, if you read the sound study that Mr. Crawford proposed and the measurements that were taken from the Route 66 Motor Speedway down in the Joplin area, there were 6 cars on the track at that time, and not the number of cars we could have on this track. It's a much smaller track. It was smaller horsepower. I believe we have presented evidence tonight, and we'll present more evidence that our decibel levels and our recommendations fit this 83 decibel model. We frankly don't understand how a lower horsepower, fewer car facility could be granted a higher decibel level than our facility. The next item, BSEC is agreeable to a similar but more definitive voluntary noise restriction. Based on the analysis to date, the noise restriction should consider both LEQ and LMAX noise levels at 0.5 miles from the center of the track. Noise levels should be monitored at 4 locations using the Type 1 integrating sound level meters. The measurements should be continuous at 15-minute increments from the start of the race to the end of the race. The LEQ noise level from the race vehicle noise should not exceed 77 dB, and the LMAX noise level should not exceed 83 dBA. During the entire measurement period, the attenuation due to ground over the wind temperature lapses and temperature inversions can have significant influences on noise levels 0.5 miles from a source. Therefore, 3 of the 4 sound meters must show an exceedance of both criteria for Bronson Motorsports and Entertainment Complex to be considered in violation of the restriction. BSEC, I'd like to back up there. I will let Mr. Jekyll explain the difference in LEQ and LMAX, but real briefly, LMAX is the peak noise and LEQ is an average. And we believe that's pretty clear, and one of the gentlemen earlier said said that the county would have to buy these instruments. I believe if you read the condition, we'd have to pay for the sound monitoring. It's not the county's expense. BSCC objects to each of the four above conditions. Condition number 7, the locations of these stations to be determined by Tuna County based upon the BSCC proposes the locations be determined by mutual agreement between Tuna County and the developer. The locations of these sensors must be secure to avoid tampering and not leave the developer open to uncontrollable noise occurrences. BSCC proposes that there be a sunset on the length of time that monitoring must continue. If there are no incidents of a violation over a given time period, i.e. 3 years, where BSCC is found in violation, the establishment of monitored levels, then the monitoring can cease. I think that's a statement of confidence of ours that we will stay within the proposed noise levels. And you could easily tamper with these devices, and we really would like that to be secure on all counts, not just for us, but for everyone involved. Number 8, the decibel readings shall be taken by an independent contractor and submitted to Taney County. The independent contractor shall be specified by Taney County, with the contractor's fees being paid by the owner operator of the motorplex. The independent contractor, our change would be the independent contractor must be qualified to perform the sampling reporting. There are no requirements of professional qualifications in the decision. BSCC strongly feels that the investment level it is making in Taney County and the selection of an independent contractor should be done through mutual agreement, and that established criteria for testing and monitoring the sound pressure levels be established. The mutual agreement needs to be in place to protect both Taney County and the investment of BSCC. And I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Number 9, the decibel readings at any of the four stations shall not exceed a sound pressure level of 68 decibels. The appeal of 68 dB criteria listed above. dBA is the sound pressure level of normal human conversation. U.S. Highway 65 has sound pressure levels equal to 65 dB or higher. An interstate highway noise commonly runs 75 to 80 dB. 68 decibels is undefined, unenforceable, and arbitrary. The conditions do not indicate whether this is a dBA scale, which is human hearing, or dBC, which is all noise. The special conditions do not indicate what is to be monitored. The special conditions do not indicate what frequencies would be monitored, or any other noise could affect a reading in a frequency that is not emitted by motorsports. BSCC has recorded readings of cicadas this summer of over 75 dBs in the neighborhood of the BSCC development. It actually was just east of the neighborhood off of Blue Ridge Road. Special conditions do not indicate whether there is a monitored level on average over time or peak pressure level readings. Thunder, passing rain, fireworks, a person tamping with a single device, or other circumstances could easily render an above reading of 68 dBC or dBA. Number 6. The location of the monitoring devices should be mutually agreed upon by Taney County and BSCC and inspected by both Taney County and BSC prior to and after each tampering event, or each event to prevent tampering. The special conditions do not indicate what the basis of the recommendation of 68 dB, what was the basis of the recommendation of an approval of 68 dB. BSCC believes it was an arbitrary recommendation and decision made without the benefit of expert information. BSCC provided two experts, and both spoke at sound levels at the track during the public hearing. BSCC was not allowed to speak at the subsequent hearing, even though one of the commissioners asked BSCC a direct question. Typically, the applicant is allowed to answer questions at the final Division III hearing, and apparently the expert testimony was not taken into or given consideration during the decision.
Excuse me, Tom. You said number six this last time.
I read it right on through number seven. I apologize. I read six and then read right through number seven.
Okay.
I apologize. Roman numeral four, number 10. BSCC, the restriction of racing or concert events. This is number 10. The restriction of racing or concerts events shall not begin before noon stands against normal racing facility management practices. This restriction is again based upon the lack of understanding of noise and misleading information presented by the opposition that intentionally skewed sound and pressure level readings. None of the information was presented by the opposition at the Planning Commission was presented by a qualified sound expert. However, misleading information was apparently taken into consideration in the Planning Commission's decision of record. Number one, the best tools to manage traffic congestions prior to a race event is to present entertainment, specifically concerts, prior to the start time of the race. This tool encourages fans to arrive early so all the traffic does not arrive at the track 1 hour before the event. Sanctioning bodies, number two, sanctioning bodies try to include all racing over the planned weekend days, typically a weekend. If there is a rainout, BSCC needs to be able to work with lower-tiered cities into an early start time to allow the fans that purchase tickets to experience all of what they've paid to see. BSCC does not believe the Taney County Planning Commission has the legal authority, nor does have the ability, nor the authority to limit hours of operations for businesses. The statute is very clear that the power is solely the responsibility of the County Commission.
So you want to strike number 10 entirely?
No, what we're asking for, and I was looking for the right page, what we're exactly asking for, and move to my notes, is that we would move to a 9 o'clock start time with one exception that we did not put in here, and that would be for like an Easter sunrise service, that we'd have the ability to operate an Easter sunrise service, and we would be willing to come in for a special permit for that, but typically not start any racing or concert before 9 o'clock.
So you want 9 a.m.?
We would not strike that entire measure, just...
That'd be voluntary, 9 a.m.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think one thing that's important to note is that, you have a constitutional right to waive things, and constitutionally we have the right as developer to voluntarily comply to these restrictions.
Any questions? Yeah, we're going to do it one at a time.
Yep.
All right, thank you. Mr. Wade?
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I do have one more witness on this point. Mr. Jekyll, on our appeal. Oh, are you going to do it?
I thought that you kind of answered that yourself, Tom.
Well, there on the sound, I really wanted Mr. Jekyll to speak to the LEQ and LE Max principles. It's not something that I can explain. I'm not a sound expert, and okay. He can explain exactly what
sounded pretty good to me. Mr. Jekyll?
John Jagel.
Concerning the time, I thought Tom did fine. Okay, see if I can confuse you. First of all, there were, even though we practiced this, somebody refers to the peak noise level. These are not peak noise levels. It's the maximum noise level over a given period. Depending upon what we're measuring and how we do things, an airport does their noise analysis for a whole year. Highway noise is for the peak hour of the day. Train noise is for a 24-hour period. What we're recommending is that since there is such a significant variation in noise level from the track, because the track doesn't run all green laps, you know, the track starts racing and there's an increase in noise level and then it kind of tapers off as the car is spread out. Then there's a yellow flag because somebody did something stupid. And they gather back up again, the green flag starts and it goes back up again. Then it spreads out. So it'd be better to chunk this into 15-minute increments. And for every 15-minute increment, then we would look at the noise level. We'd look at it at the as an LEQ, which is the equivalent noise level. Now, what does the equivalent noise level mean? Basically, it's an energy. Noise is energy. Not much energy. I mean, it's a very small energy, but it is energy. And so what we do is we energy average that noise over a 15-minute period. And that's the LEQ. Now, if you have noise level of a 60 and a 70, mathematically, the average is 65. LEQ is about 67, 68. Because these numbers are logarithmic, and therefore a 70 is significantly louder than a 60, you know, on the logarithmic scale. So that way we have an energy average over 15 minutes, and then in that 15-minute period, the instrument will pick out the maximum sound pressure level that it records. When we looked at the Emery Creek, and we looked at Emery Creek restriction, and we looked at the restriction, you know, imposed upon BSCC, we were kind of concerned how we got from 83 to 68. But also, one of the things that was in there, if you look at that, it says 83 or 68 decibels. That'd be like saying to a police officer, the speed limit is 63. 63 what? Is 63 miles per hour. Decibels have to have some other time assigned to them. It can be an LMAX, which is the maximum noise level. It can be the LEQ. It must say DBA or DBC. The reason we propose DBA is that that is the internationally accepted criteria or measurement rating, frequency rating filters in the sound level meter, internationally accepted. I mean, that's a few things in the world that very few people argue over and the governments don't get involved in. If the scientists agree, DBA is what the human ear really hears the most about. And the reason that is that the filter takes away the lower noise levels. Why? Well, if you were on the low frequency noise levels, you might have wavelengths of over 30 feet. That's not going to get into your ear. Your ear isn't that big. When it gets inside your inner ear, you know, it's even worse. So if you go to a rock concert and you go, ooh, I can hear that low frequency noise, well, if you pay really close attention to it, if you remember back when rock concerts were in vogue, it's thumping against your torso. That's what you're feeling. There's that much energy there. But you're not really hearing it. On the other end, your inner ear has a bunch of hammers in it. Remember biology class in high school? And they don't move so fast. So eventually, we don't hear high-frequency noise either. You know, if you have a dog and you blow a whistle, you don't hear that, but the dog hears it because he hears high-frequency noise. We don't hear that. So we have this curve, which is DBA, and that's how we respond to it. That's what we really hear. So to say 63 decibels or 83 decibels, to me, can be interpreted numerous ways, and we felt that needed to be really narrowed down. So that's why we went to the DBA, 15 minutes with an LMAX. Let the instrument pick out the LMAX. When we did our modeling of the facility and looking at the fact that, you know, 43 race cars, and these are loud. Also, very interesting, the different brands sound different. And this is all what the engineers do with the exhaust system, but they actually sound different. So there's only so many things you can do with that much sound power. And by putting it down in the hole, like we're recommending, and building up some of the outside, you know, so we have like 207 elevation of 1270 away from the track and 1240 at the base, we're going to get some attenuation. We can calculate that. So we're pretty confident that the 63 we couldn't reach. It was almost like somebody said, well, we'll grant you your permit, but you can't operate. So what we proposed was something that was definable, measurable, and that we felt we could live with. And that we can live with it even with the variations in Mother Nature, because that really plays havoc with what we're going to hear upwind or downwind from the track on any given day or night. Any questions?
Okay. Understand it. Thank you. Any other
presenters at just this time?
Very briefly, I just want to make a statement. I know Mr. Wade's probably going to have some things to say, and I'd just like a short rebuttal. But just a clarification at this point in time. When staff presented paragraph number 9 regarding the $5,000 fine, I know there's been an issue on this. And the way it's presented to you right now, it says the $5,000 fine shall be levied for each offense over 68 decibels. What we BSEC would agree to is the fine would be in place for a violation of the language they proposed as opposed to over a 68 decibels. It doesn't make sense. I just wanted to point that out to the board. And also, Mr. Gammon did indicate the revisions that he would make to 10, which isn't exactly what's on the screen, the agreement to start at 9 a.m. Just wanted to point those things out at this point.
Okay. Mr. Wade, you're on the list again.
Thank you. I'm getting tired. But I wanted to point out that the Board of Adjustment in this appeal, its review process is the same as the others, and that is if the court, the board finds that there's an error of law, then it can reverse, affirm, or modify in part the decision of record. In Section 4.3 of the Taney County Code, it says that the Planning Commission can impose conditions of permit approval and issuance, and it may be imposed on the issuance of any permit. These include, but are not limited to, submission of technical plans, performance guarantees, and the implementation of one or more of the policies adopted under Section 11. So, what you heard from the appellant developer in this case is they weren't happy with some of the conditions that were imposed by the administrator and then the Planning Commission. However, what you did not hear was that there was some error of law in implementing those conditions. You also did not hear any evidence suggesting that the findings or the conditions were inconsistent or could not be complied with. I think Mr. Jekyll, although I didn't understand exactly what he was saying, he did say it was something we didn't feel like we could live with. But if you recall Spencer's testimony, he said there was a study or some sort of performance racetrack cars revved up in which the dB levels in which he actually did a sound meter testing, I think he said 54. So you don't actually have any evidence before you other than speculation by an expert, but speculation nonetheless, that particular limitation is inappropriate. So I don't think you have anything before you that suggests an error of law was. The Planning Commission erred as a matter of law in issuing a condition, and I don't think you have any evidence to suggest that what they found as part of that condition was inconsistent with anything that they heard. They certainly may have disagreed with some of the testimony they heard, but that is certainly their prerogative and their right to do that. There was also some discussion about whether or not the infrastructure should be completed phased, I believe Mr. Gammon said. And I think his example was we'd like to build our office there before we build something else. Well, I don't know why there would need to be an office first before you have the racetrack, but nonetheless, the commission, the decision of record says at subpart F, a traffic impact study shall be submitted to the Taney County Road and Bridge Department, along with some other things that they're supposed to do in conformance with the code. So if there is, and they want to do it in phases, so if there is a need for those changes or modifications, I think that the Planning Commission accommodated them and gave them the opportunity to come forward with some information about traffic and other things so they could have that discussion. They haven't done that. So there's no real reason for you to consider changing the condition because they haven't provided the information that would support some change in the condition. Again, we don't believe that as to these particular conditions 4, 7, 8, 9, and 10, that there was an error of law committed. We also think it's important that we believe the commission did take into consideration the substantial amount of evidence presented at the hearing from the residents and neighbors about their concerns about the sound. You heard Mr. Ashley testify about how they reached their conclusion, and we think that the Board of Adjustment should support those particular conditions. Thank you.
Thank you. Is Todd Ashleman still here? Ashleman?
Ashleman.
Got it.
Tonight, during our appeal, I mentioned several key factors, including information that we were hoping the planning and zoning would look at regarding sound and lighting analysis, transportation, environment, environmental impacts, economics, etc. And we felt that they did not have enough information, and even in their own acknowledgement, they admitted that they didn't have all the information that they requested. With all of that said, this board, denied our appeal, and certainly we respectfully disagree with that. But you supported their decision that they had enough information to make the decision that they did. You unanimously upheld the Planning and Zoning Board's decision to approve this project. They approved this project with certain restrictions and certain conditions. To remove or adjust those restrictions would not only adjust the context of their ruling, but it would also undermine your decision to stand behind them and to deny our appeal. One of the examples that was mentioned was that part of this sound analysis and things was turned in on July 18th after these meetings and things were held. That was not the fault of Country Farm Estates or the people that live there. But fortunately, the planning and zoning, by making some of these restrictions and putting some of these things in there, they did try to do what they could to help protect the people that are going to live closest to this facility. The attorney for Manson Sports Entertainment Complex asked me if I knew of any home that was within 1,000 feet of the racetrack, and to the best of my knowledge, there's not. I've not actually been granted access on that property, so I couldn't tell you 100% for sure. But what I could tell you is that the architect at one of the meetings pointed out several of the homes in Country Farm Estates, and they told me that they were less than a half a mile from the track's edge. Whenever we're talking about sound analysis and things, I can honestly tell you I don't understand a good percentage of what that expert says. However, I do know that if you go to a racetrack or a sporting event and they're going to have race cars and they've got a PA system, the PA system has got to be louder than the race cars. It's got to be the noise of the crowd. If you're going to stand behind the decision of the Planning and Zoning Commission, then at least support the conditions and restrictions in full that they set forth. Otherwise, send it all the way back and have them redo it. Thank you.
Any questions at all? Okay. Bob?
I guess the sound thing is just confusing me. I guess I'm back to that hurting a bunch of cats. I hear one report that had a decibel reading from the track to Ridgedale that was significantly higher than an equidistant report from the other side. There's a third report in here that doesn't totally agree with either one of them. I suspect individual conditions under which those were taken and also the parameters that were established to determine those decibels is what made the difference. I don't know. I would like to see this whole sound process established clearly and definitively before this project goes any further. I don't think that the things that are being asked for in here are clear enough to any of us who are supposed to be talking. I don't even know what a type 1 integrating sound level meter is. And I'm supposed to make a decision based that this is going to be used when I don't even know what it is. So I guess I would ask BSEC one question. Why don't we just stop the whole process of the noise abatement and all this and sit down and let the county determine what sound levels are, what all of this stuff means, and then come back with how we're going to deal with the sound?
Thank you, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. If I could respond to them one at a time. Or
excuse me. We still have testimony yet from the other side. If we could go to that and then get back to
my
your
rebuttal.
Question.
And I will try to remember your question and respond to it when I conclude my remarks.
I have Tammy Pasco down again.
Hi, I'm Tammy Pasco, T-A-M-M.
Can you bring that mic down a little bit for us?
What are you trying to say? Is that going to work? Okay. T-A-M-M-Y-P-A-S-C-O-E. I'm really confused about the sound levels as you are. Spencer Jones from the BS Entertainment Complex stated previously that 54 decibels from the testing on last Wednesday night was what they had gotten. But they're asking for it to go to beyond the 68, which they were given. I don't understand why they would need it anymore. So this is just completely null and void to me why they would even ask for any more. 68 is way beyond the 54. Then if you go down to number 7, and I don't know what Roman numeral after that, Mr. Gammon said that after 3 years they would stop the sound testing. What happens at 3 years in 1 day? What does that do to my property? My property is 598 feet from theirs. Where does that put me on 3 years and 1 day if we did take those out? Then on number 10, they wanted to strike everything on the time the testing at 9 a.m. and all of that. But then he also said that they would ask for a special permit to cover any Sunday services. Why strike any of it if they can ask for a special permit that will mitigate that problem for them? And that's all I have. I do not understand any of this. I don't understand how any of the rulings have come this way. I would love for there to be answers from you guys on how you gave us these answers already.
Thank you. Tony Espy. Thank you. Mr. Wade, any further? Anthony?
Yes, one rebuttal witness, Mr. Gammon, would like to speak to one of the statements made, and then I would like to make some concluding remarks.
One thing real quickly, Todd, who I've got great respect for, he's a good guy and we've talked several times. He stated he's never been on the property. He was invited and didn't come. There were several members of the neighborhood came to the property and he did not come. He was told multiple times that anytime he wants, he's got my cell phone number, give me a call and come over. We've been very open to people coming onto the property and giving them tours. That's point number one. Number two, we're not asking to, the limitation in 10, and maybe I didn't write that correctly. Forgive me if I didn't, but what we're asking for on number 10 is that racing or concert events could not begin before 10. We're asking that they begin at 9 o'clock, not any earlier than 9 o'clock. And we really want that to be able to manage the crowd. The comments on loudspeakers being louder than race levels. If you attend racing events, you know that the spectators wear hearing protection. And during the green flag racing, no one hears the PA. The only way to hear the PA is to wear a set of radio headphones that are tied into the PA. No one tries to pump the PA louder than the race cars. During a caution event, then you can take your headphones off, the noise levels are down, and you can hear the PA system. I wanted to clarify those points. I think that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you. David, you had a question?
At the other racetracks that you visited, do they have fines they have to pay? Do they have noise restrictions?
I think anybody? Mr. Jekyll would be the best one to answer the question.
Bottom line is no. There are some states that have noise ordinances, and what they do is they exempt the touring circuits. The local tracks, they work with them on curfews. I helped write an ordinance for a community in Milwaukee, and one of the suburbs of Milwaukee, and what we worked out was a curfew. This is Saturday Night Racing. No, this is not a touring group. And they had mufflers on the cars. I mean, racing mufflers, not like what you'd get, you know, for your own car. And everybody was very pleased. I mean, because nothing is more frustrating on a short track, even for the audience, when, you know, everybody's getting tired, including the drivers, and they can't finish three laps without a yellow flag, and we're still racing at midnight. So 11 o'clock curfew, you know, usually solve that problem. So, but on a touring circuit, a lot of times the states that do have ordinances exempt them. So, yeah, there's no penalties.
Thank you. Anthony?
Very briefly, thank you. So I know it's late, and I'm going to try to be as brief as possible. The first thing I want to do is answer the question that you asked before the opposition had a time to finish. And the question you asked goes to the heart of why we're appealing and we claim that error occurred here. Because what you're suggesting is that the county decides something regarding noise. And there is no existing noise ordinance in Taney County. And I think I understand what the Planning Commission was trying to accomplish by doing this, but what they did was they created a special noise ordinance just for BSEC. And I don't believe there was sufficient evidence in front of the Planning Commission to reach the conclusion they did in setting this arbitrary number. If you compare it to the Emery Creek number that was set several years before, there really is no correlation. That is really the problem here, is the Planning Commission, in reaching its decision, made a special ordinance just for BSEC and just for this use. And there is no noise ordinance in Taney County. So that's the reason why we're saying that the Planning Commission erred. Did we say throw it out completely? No. What BSEC is trying to do is they want to go forward with their development that they put a lot of time and energy into. They think it's a good idea, them, of course, and for the county. But what Mr. Gammon told you in his testimony is true. With the types of restrictions that have been placed by the Planning Commission when they were trying to balance the relative policies, they're basically tying BSEC's hands behind its back. And rather than say, no, you cannot have a special noise ordinance pertaining to us, they've made some suggestions. And those suggestions, you've heard testimony from Mr. Jekyll tonight, those suggestions are supported by science. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to work with the county and work with this balancing of the relative policies as best as they can, and that's why they've made the suggestions. On condition number 4, we take the position that's purely a clarification that we're requesting, and that should be put in place so there's no further arguments down the line. With regard to conditions 7, 8, and 9, those deal with the noise issue. And I've already indicated that there is one problem with what staff has up there on 9 regarding the fine issue. We were agreeable to the imposition of a fine, but it has to be in violation of the noise levels that we assert should be the governing levels and the measurements in paragraph 7 and 8. With regard to paragraph 10, once again, just to clarify, as Mr. Gammon said, we'll stick by what his statements are regarding hours of operation. For all of these reasons, gentlemen, we respectfully assert to you that Appeal 116A should be granted with the suggested language from BSEC on paragraphs 4, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And we appreciate your time this evening.
Thank you. Any rebuttal?
Under the relative policies, page 28, 11 point.
Can you move the microphone back up?
Yeah. 11.1.3, off-site nuisances include dust, smoke, odors, noise, vibration, light, glare, and heat. Potential off-site nuisances are encouraged to be mitigated by appropriate means. The means of mitigation shall be presented in detail with the application for permit. So the information obligation was on the developer's part to provide information about the DB levels and what was appropriate in terms of mitigation. To the extent that there is confusion about that, that they provided information that's inconsistent or you can't sort out, I'm not sure you can fault the Planning Commission for following their code in determining what an appropriate mitigating factor would be. So absent there being some evidence to suggest they can't comply, and there's some compelling reason why they should be allowed to vary from that compliance, I'm not sure there's anything for you to review in that regard.
Thank you.
Any rebuttal?
I would only ask Mr. Jekyll to respond to the question regarding the evidence that was put in front of the Planning Commission at the meeting.
John Jekyll, back again. The track is presently designed in a hole for the purpose of providing mitigation
out into the community. We get the best mitigation to the south, the west, and the north. Well, northwest, the track's not due north. So the northwest, southwest, and southeast. The mitigation to the northeast is not quite as good because the terrain doesn't help us as much as it does on the other three sides of the track.
Was this, we're trying to get to what was said at the planning and zoning?
That's what we had talked about.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Now, can I answer your question about the noise level meter?
What is a type 1?
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a American National Standards Institute, ANSI, has specifications for sound level meters. There's a type 0, which is laboratory. There's a type 1, a type 2, and a type 3. Type 3, you can buy at Radio Shack. The limits of accuracy are not as great as a type 2 and not near as good as a type 1. So type 1 is what we typically use for environmental noise levels. What I didn't want is somebody to come out there, whether it was somebody even from the community who wants to say that they got a different reading. Well, if they go out there to the Radio Shack, they're going to get a different reading than what a type 1 instrument would get just because of accuracy. So the type 1 is just, it's a specification. That's all it is.
Would anybody else have a different choice?
Would any other expert have a different choice of monitor?
No, integrating sound level meter type 1. Well, mine actually do frequency analysis too, but I would not, that's not required, for what the criteria that was established, we would not look at.
Okay.
The specific frequency levels.
Within type 1, are there various models that can be used?
Oh, there's a whole slew. We manufacturers.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
So it's just a kind of a general. It's a Chevy, not a particular model Chevy.
Yeah.
Or a Cadillac.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. But the specifications on the limits of accuracy are, they keep on getting narrower with the lower number.
Okay.
So type 1 would be, they're consistent across the board. A type 1 meter from Fujo is the same.
Yes. They must meet the same specifications.
Okay. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. We'll close the public input section. I'm sorry.
Yeah. What is the timetable for starting racing?
Most races.
For the first race on the track to take place.
Most likely we're looking at spring 2014.
Okay. And how long will it take you to build up to the 65,000 population and a big race?
Well, it'll take us several years to get to that level. We'll have to start at the lower series and build up the events and hopefully be able to track some of the very top series with 65,000. We will not open with 65,000 seats.
Okay, but you could.
At some point we could. Expand to 65,000 seats, but we will not open at 65,000.
Okay, I guess the reason I'm asking is if there are no incidents or violations in a three-year time frame, then we stop monitoring. But within that three-year time frame, you're not going to be at your peak of spectators nor maybe races. So after 3 years, gee whiz, you could have an increase in sound and there's no monitoring.
The 3 years was, if you notice the way it's written, was a suggestion on our part.
A suggestion, it says, I thought the bold print here on this was a proposal. That's a little more than a suggestion.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, too, basically, the staff had put together a summary of what we felt that their proposals were for each for each individual item.
Okay, I don't see a reason to stop monitoring. Where I lived before I moved here, I was in charge as a member of the board of a water plant and sewer treatment, and we never stopped monitoring. Even though we didn't have a reading for a particular thing, we still had to periodically monitor. So I don't... Can you tell me where I err in that?
What I will say is that if we expand, then we would start monitoring again. We would offer that. We think that'd be a decent compromise. So if we stay at the amount of seats we open with and we don't expand the seating capacity, then it would end. If we expand the seating capacity, then the monitoring comes back in. That would be acceptable to us.
Okay.
And I think reasonable.
Thank you. We'll conclude the public input and deliberate on this matter.
Oh. I got loud, so I got to see.
The thing that if the P&Z doesn't have the authority to impose fines or set a noise ordinance, then that pretty much makes the other points regarding the sound level and the monitoring makes it moot. If they can't,
if they don't have the power to impose a fine and make a rule on what your noise level can be and this is what's going to happen if you're going to go over it, they don't have the power to do that, then all of these other things become moot. And the sound part basically has to come out until the commission decides, or the commission has the authority to change the law or make that rule. We don't. The P&Z does not. So how can we work on any of those if they don't? You follow me?
Then do we have the ability to suspend making any changes to this or going forward with this permit until county guidelines are established? Can we say that and enforce it?
No, because it's moot.
Well, no, I'm saying let's just hold the permit right now as it stands and suggest, or I don't know if we can order the commission to establish sound requirements so that this situation is clear and defined for all parties.
Part of our job is to determine if there were mistakes made by the planning and zoning. That's part of our job as the Board of Adjustments.
Right.
And if the mistake was made that they're trying to impose a rule or regulation that they cannot, then it's our job to correct that mistake, is it not? Go ahead.
Could I speak to a
yes,
couple
please.
Of things? And I've not gotten a written recommendation to this effect, but one of the conversations I did have with the county attorney or county counselor was regarding whether or not it was felt that we had the legal authority to impose a sound restriction. Verbally, it was his opinion that he felt, per the provisions of the code book, that we did have the authority to impose a sound restriction. As a relative policy, we're seeking to control an off-site nuisance, and it defines noise as an off-site nuisance. And so it was his opinion that the Planning Commission could, in fact, have a condition that mitigated that off-site nuisance. Now, as far as the fine, it's my understanding, and
it's a voluntary fine, yes.
And they did not seek to strike the fine, and so my feeling there is they did never request to basically modify the requirement for a fine.
And I understand that, and
Okay. I think the best thing to do is we will make a motion, and then that will determine the outcome, naturally. Now we're talking about the appeal of 6A on these 4, 7, 8, 9, and 10 conditional items that were placed on it by the P&Z upon their approval.
I'll make a motion to approve on number 10, the opening at noon. I don't think that that's it's hard to phrase this. 9 a.m. is
can we deal with these individuals?
Well, that's what I, yeah, I'm starting with 10. I'm starting with 10. 9 a.m. opening time. I feel it's reasonable. Number one, it was back in 2008. I was not on the board at the time. I was just coming on the board. But I was there for the for those appeals, and they did set a restriction at 83. And if, according to the attorney, city's attorney, we can make those, or the P&Z has the right to make those decisions, and the board of adjustments said 83 is good. I believe that's been set, and that should be the case. Number seven, I don't feel it's unreasonable that the locations should be a mutual agreement. I don't feel that that's unreasonable. Number eight, that's, again, they're talking about mutual, coming together mutually on a decision on which contractor shall do the monitoring. The owner is agreed to pay the expenses of that. As far as the equipment, the owner's agreed to pay the expenses. Number nine, it states that any one of the four measuring stations shall not exceed a sound pressure level. I think maybe two out of the four would be better than three out of the four. It's a 50-50. So that's what I feel about number nine. Part of my motion is that it should be two rather than three of the four, or one of the four. Or excuse me, yeah, one of the four. It's two of the four. And that's it.
Would you like to restate your motion so that we can have it?
Why don't we just deal with it item by item?
Well,
all right. Number one, I make a motion on number one.
Number four.
Excuse me, number.
Okay.
Where's my first page? There it is. Okay. Okay. My first motion, number 10, I make a motion that we approve the 9 a.m. start time.
Second.
I have a motion to approve the 9 o'clock change on an opening and a second.
Just to clarify, can I read that back? Just to clarify that this is what we want.
All right.
Would it essentially state that racing or concert events shall not begin before 9 a.m.?
Correct.
Okay.
I shall move.
And we have a second from Tom?
Me.
No. From Bob, I'm sorry. Lateness is getting here. Call for the vote on that question there. David, how would you vote?
Yay.
Bob, how would you vote?
Yay.
Tom, how would you vote?
Yay.
I also from the chairman on that particular point.
I'd like to make a motion on condition number 4. Hold on a second. Actually, yeah, number 4 is the building in phases. Correct? Mm-hmm. I'd make a motion to approve that infrastructure is done in phases as needed.
Motion's been made. Do I hear a second?
Maybe someone can phrase it better.
I hear no second, so the motion fails. Do I have a motion to deny? Number 4.
Let's go back and read it again.
I would like to make a motion that we deny item number 4 from the conditions.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to deny the request to number item 4 on the condition list. Bob, how would you vote?
For the motion.
Motion to deny. Chairman votes motion to deny. David?
I vote against the motion.
You're for the... You vote against the motion.
Vote against the motion.
Tom?
I vote against the motion.
All right. Motion failed, and so does the appeal on that item number 4. Go to item number 7.
Make a motion to approve the proposal of the locations being determined by the county and the developer.
Second.
Can I hear that motion again?
Repeat the motion, please.
Motion to approve the locations being determined by the county and the developer.
If I could clarify that one just really quick, does that include the last part of it concerning the 3-year time frame?
I think the 3-year time frame needs to be a separate motion in this. Strike it out of that, and we need to vote on that separately. So as far as the locations to be determined with the county and the developer, I'll make a motion to approve that.
Motion been made and seconded to approve the provision of item number 7 relating to the type 1 monitoring meters to be jointly determined for the location. I'll call for the vote. Tom, how would you vote?
To approve.
David?
Approve.
Bob?
Approve.
Chairman likewise approve. We'll go to item number 8.
The 3 years. I'll make a motion to deny the 3 years and make that 10 years. That'll give the track a chance to grow and give us a lengthy time.
So no time limit on?
No, it'd be, it says, okay, BSEC proposes that there be a sunset on the length of time. The monitoring must continue. Theirs is, i.e., 3 years. I'm suggesting 10 years. I'm making a motion that monitoring after 10 years, if there's no violations of the established monitor levels, then the monitoring can cease after 10 years.
Do I hear a second? Hearing none, the motion fails. Do I have any other motion regarding the monitoring system?
No.
We don't have to vote on it.
I know we don't. But
I would like to move that monitoring be continued without relationship to time, but that every 5 years a review should be made on the part of the county.
Do I have a second?
Allowing for modification of the original requirement.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Motion been made and seconded that we have a 5-year time frame on monitoring with modifications at that time. Bob, how would you vote for this?
For the motion.
Tom?
For the motion.
David?
For the motion.
Chairman votes for also. Item number 8, decimal readings.
I'll make a motion that the number 8, the decimal readings, shall be taken by an independent contractor determined by Taney County and BSEC, with the fees to be paid by BSEC.
Second.
I have a motion made and seconded. How would we vote? David?
Aye.
Bob?
Aye.
Tom?
Aye.
Aye from the chairman also. Number 9. The original reading is decimal readings at any of the four measuring stations shall not exceed a sound pressure level of 68 decibels. And
also the certificate of compliance shall be suspended for any readings exceeding 68. And a written notice of suspension shall be served on the owner or operator of the development, requiring that the development return to the compliance within 60 calendar days or be revoked. The certificate of compliance shall be revoked for any readings exceeding 68 decibels within the 60-day non-compliance period. A fine of $5,000 be levied for each offense over 68 decibels.
I'll make a motion that two of the four monitoring stations shall not exceed a sound pressure level of 83 dBA, as according to the previous Board of Adjustments decision in 2008, which they stated that it shall not exceed 83. So that would be my motion. Two of the four stations not registering over 83. Not to exceed a sound pressure level of 83 dBA.
Do I have a second to the motion? Hearing none, the motion fails. Do I have a motion to deny number 9?
Move to deny number 9.
Do I have a second?
I'll second the motion.
Motion been made and seconded to deny condition number 9 as revised by the developer. I'll call for the vote. Bob, how would you vote?
Move to deny.
Move to deny.
David?
I vote against the motion.
And,
against the motion.
The chairman votes in favor of the motion. So number 9 is left as it was. And we've taken care of number 10. I think that concludes the appeal process for number 6A. Thank you very much for your time. The board will consider other matters at this time. We have approval of the minutes of the last meeting. Oh.
Yep, we just decided to present the minutes for both at
okay.
The next meeting.
All right.